this is Jerry Pippin, and this is the Gary McKinnon Story. It's a tale of two countries and the dark side of the U.S. government's attitude toward protecting UFO secrets. Contrary to public perception, Gary McKinnon is not a long-haired teenage hacker. He's a middle-aged man, a professional musician and entertainer. Then how did he get into trouble with the U.S. government over the Internet? We're going to reveal the complete story here on this page today with Gary McKinnon. Let's get to the background. Why was Gary interested in UFOs? Gary's stepdad grew up in Bonnie Bridge, Scotland, where he was very interested in UFOs because Bonnie Bridge is a UFO hotspot. Everyone agrees this helped trigger McKinnon's interest in UFOs. Several years ago, one night, Gary decided that he would try to do a computer investigation himself to find out actually what the U.S. government knew about UFOs. He was able to enter several websites, including one by NASA and many by the Defense Department. He was able to read files. It was astounding what he saw. We're going to let Gary tell you about what he saw and what happened to him in his own words later in the program. Executive producer Larry Dickin and myself were discussing the McKinnon case. It just seems unbelievable, but unfortunately, it's true.
Jerry, given the current state of affairs of the U.S. Justice Department and its desire to enforce the Patriot Act, and its more than severe penalties as well as laws against computer systems hacking on the books, Gary McKinnon may face serious penalties if he's extradited and tried in the U.S. federal court. He could be given up to 70 years in prison by a jury that is inflamed by a prosecuting attorney under the orders of Attorney General Gonzalez, and into considering McKinnon to be a terrorist and a computer spy. That could end up with McKinnon spending time in federal prison in Colorado in a cell next to sacrificial lamb Musawi in solitary confinement, not allowed to see anyone except prison guards for the rest of his life.
We here at the Jerry Pippin Show see the Gary McKinnon story much more than just a UFO show. It's true life evidence of what our government here in the United States is doing around the world to people who are asking questions about UFOs and Defense Department activity.
Gary's potential trial in the U.S. is an obvious example of neocon justice emerging in America today. What is Gary's crime? Hacking into unsecured systems with no firewalls and no passwords, so much for the expenditures on Homeland Security. And what information was he looking for? Anything he could find on UFOs and secret back engineering of ET technology for free energy? The government says these things don't exist and represent nothing of a threat to national security. Our government appears to be spending money on projects in secret, which is against the Constitution, and then making it a crime to learn about the government's criminal activity.
Special correspondent Gary Cassidy traveled to London to talk to Gary about the case, and for us to meet Gary McKinnon up close and personal. Yeah, I think you'll find the interview very interesting. We have Carrie Cassidy on her cell phone right now. She's sitting there in the courtyard right outside that pub in London where she did the interview with Gary. Carrie, we're looking forward to seeing your report, but right now I'd like for you to give our listeners maybe a little thumbnail sketch of, I mean, you've been with Gary for about an hour or so. You probably have a feel for what the man is about and about this case. Can you tell our audience what you think?
Well, Gary McKinnon is very forthcoming. He's very passionate about the investigations he's done and why he did what he did. And in large part, it appears to be for the betterment of humanity. He was investigating the reality of, you know, the UFO ET presence. And did you need me to repeat that? Because there seemed to be an interference there. He also is very interested in the possibility that we reverse engineered some ET craft, and that free energy might be something that could change the lives of many people here on the planet, and it's being withheld. So this is kind of his motivation for doing what he's doing, and we've gotten a very fine interview from him. He's very eloquent. So, Gary, here's Jerry Pippin. He's a world-famous radio host, and he really knows this field inside and out. He's interviewed the best of the best and all the rest. Wouldn't you say, Jerry?
Gee, Carrie, you read that just like I wrote it for you. Well, we have talked to a lot of people over the years, and we're ready to talk to Gary.
Hi, Jerry.
Hello, Gary. You seem to be holding up pretty well, considering everything. How are you?
How are you?
Yeah, a couple of things, Gary. First of all, what did you actually do? Did you enter websites or what? And secondly, how long ago was the last time you did this?
Firstly, they weren't websites. They were private military networks. So they're not exactly unlisted, but they're not public web servers. And the last time would have been probably sort of January of 2002, I think.
Now, Gary, how long did it take them to figure it out? I mean, the authorities.
March of 2002. Yeah, apparently they were monitoring me for 3 months beforehand. Which turned out to be good for me, because I wasn't vandalistic. During that monitoring time, they realized that, even though the later charges came up. But, there was an early morning knock on the door. I was very sleepy. And they did the old Mr. Nice and Mr. Nasty act, you know, one being friendly and one being kind of antagonistic. Whole thing, you know, handcuffed. Me and my girlfriend both handcuffed into the police van, down to the police station. Kept there for quite a few hours. Threat to get my girlfriend's 50-year-old cousin in there if I didn't answer questions. Lots of pressure.
Gary, we talked to your mother, who, by the way, is a very nice woman. She told me something that I thought was just really strange. I think she said there were no passwords or usernames, really, to speak of. You could just go in there and start looking around.
This was a ridiculous thing. I didn't consider myself a hacker. I was using a very easy, lazy way. I was doing large-scale phishing for blank passwords. Not just blank passwords, but blank passwords where the account name was administrator, which doesn't mean an actual physical person. It just means it's the most powerful account and a Windows operating system.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually the second most powerful. And I was just amazed at the plethora of blank administrator-level accounts, you know, with no password, let alone not having a firewall.
Okay, Gary, now you go in here, and you're amazed it's so easy to get in. You're looking for information. Do you remember one of the first things that grabbed your attention, something that really stood out?
Well, yeah, you have to bear in mind 99% of the time I found absolutely nothing. You have to be very, very patient. And you're shooting blind a lot of the time. I wasn't as well up as I am now on who defense contractors were and that sort of thing. But the thing that really grabbed my attention was Donna Hare, now the photographic expert, who said that in Building 8 of Johnson Space Center, they regularly airbrush down UFOs. Having already accessed various NASA locations, they use the same blank password scanning technique to get into Johnson Space Center, and then use further techniques to find out which machines were in Building 8.
Now, if I remember correctly, Donna, she wasn't always successful in getting inside to see the fire.
Yeah, according to her story, she had a colleague nearby in the same building.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, she kind of went in and shared a coffee and was being quite casual when he brought out these high-res satellite imagery where apparently they regularly brush out images of UFOs.
Now, have you made contact with Donna since then? I mean, I'm talking about on a personal basis.
No, but Stephen Greer made contact with me, and it was
Stephen Greer, huh? He's into a lot of things. You know, the big headline over here, as far as the UFO scene and what you're saying you saw, concerns this space fleet. Can you, expand to our audience a little bit about what we're talking about here? A secret space fleet?
Yeah, I know there's a list. Yeah. I found it. It was an Excel spreadsheet, .xls. Its heading was non-terrestrial officers, and the list was of ranks and names, but not military designations. There was no way of knowing if it was the Army or the Navy or anything like that. And the fact that these were obviously, you know, people's names, non-terrestrial didn't mean little green men. I surmised from that and another document, which had ship-to-ship and fleet-to-fleet material transfers, that there was probably an international effort, certainly amongst maybe a few governments, not just America, to develop a space-going force, like a kind of space marine scenario. And in fact, if you look at some of the DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency documentation, that is indeed where all the fields of endeavor lie at the moment and where a lot of money's going.
Carrie covers that in her interview some, so we'll let that go. I want to get back to when they arrested you. Did you get the impression they knew a lot about what was going on? I mean, the authorities, were they informed? Or were they just picking you up?
This is a strange thing. At first, they didn't. Not at all. They were saying, you may probably just get 6 months community service here in England, which means you're helping people rather than going to jail. But in between my first and second interview with the National High-Tech Crime Unit, they went over to America, to Washington, to the Office of Naval Investigation. I think they also spoke to some Air Force Office Special Investigation people, and they came back with a very heavy attitude. Their demeanor has completely changed. I was obviously very impressed by the top brass.
I'll let Carrie talk to you about the zero-point energy thing. You talk about the space fleet. So it seems there's some sort of technology out there that enables this to happen. But I want to get back to what's going to happen to Gary McKinnon here, and I'm sure you do too. You have to make a representation or an appearance or something before the Home Secretary, right?
I do have to appear, but I don't have the right to say anything. I have to make representations by June the 21st to John Reid, who's our Home Secretary. And at that point, he had to make a decision as to whether or not to allow the expedition. And in the last case, under a different Home Secretary, that took 11 months. And I'm assuming he's going to allow the extradition, because when my solicitor asked the Crown Prosecution Service here why it's been handed over to the Department of Justice, he said this came from way over my head, it came from very high up. So I think, the American government has said, look, we really want this guy. And my government said, okay, yes, you can have him, kind of thing. So I think once he decides, yes, he can be extradited, then I'll start the appeals process, which could take another couple of years.
Gary, we have links here to sign that petition for you, and I know you have well over 1,000 signatures now, and that counts a lot. And people are invited to write letters to the Home Secretary, and we, you have the address there for that, one of the links. And basically, we wish you a lot of luck. It's just amazing to me. It seems to me that maybe they're just trying to make an example out of you. I mean, you're certainly not a threat.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I know 100%. I'm not a threat. And the damage accusations, which have been leveled, I found out, were to be an extraditable offense to America, it has to be worth at least 1 year in prison. And for a computer crime to be worth at least 1 year in prison, you have to have caused $5,000 worth of damage. So if by magic, every machine I was on, I'm being charged with doing $5,000 worth of damage.
Now, Gary McKinnon, you have a nice family. I know everybody's, really pulling together here. In fact, you guys have done a lot of professional things together as entertainers, as musicians. Your stepdad, I think he plays guitar.
Yeah.
So basically what we're talking about is the United States of America.
That's correct, yep.
Yeah.
Wants to take a musician and throw away the key, lock you up for 70 years or more. That seems pretty severe.
It does sound somewhat heavy-handed, doesn't it?
Gary, we'll do what we can keeping the publicity going.
Thank you very much.
Shining the spotlight on you. Good luck. You've heard it, folks. The U.S. government reaching out with its heavy hand and taking the population and doing what it wants. Incredible. Who would have ever thought it would have happened here in America? Until next time. This is Jerry Pippin. Cheers.
The doors are finally open at shopjerrypippin.com. Explore our new iShop. It's open and growing. You can use any major credit card or your checking account with our PayPal connection. Our first edition t-shirt selections features three different Jerry Pippin UFO files designs. In addition, we will be adding collector t-shirts from select UFO conferences, as well as several novelty items. Check us out at shopjerrypippin.com.